Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Fuller part-time options, 518-454-5143. And Rosenbaum Media Group, a digital communications agency integrating high-definition video into PR, marketing, advertising, and social media campaigns. Big-picture thinking for local and national clients. RosenbaumMedia.com. From Northeast Public Radio, this is The Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
On The Media Project this week, we're going to be talking about whether journalists have given the press aides too much power. We're going to talk about covering rape, all kinds of important issues. Hello, welcome. I'm Rex Smith of the Times Union here with Rosemary Armeo from UAlbany.
Hello.
Noted investigative journalist and reporter, and Dr. Alan Shartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio, columnist, commentator, prognosticator, pontificator, et cetera, et cetera.
Don't think I don't understand exactly what you're up to, Mr. Rex Smith. I do.
He says he does. We need to start out with a do-over here, because a couple weeks ago, when Alan is not complicit in this, because he missed the show in case.
And when I'm not here, all things go wrong.
It's true.
And this is often.
But we did not do a good job with this. So.
Well, here's the deal. We were talking about this rape that occurred in Steubenville, Ohio, where some young men were found guilty. Two high school football players were found guilty of raping a young woman who was drunk. And a writer from Albany makes a good point that she thought that we sounded too sympathetic to the rapists themselves, right?
Well, we were sympathetic to the rapists. Our idea was, why can't you feel sorry for young men who mess up their lives in the same way that you do for a young woman whose life has been messed up? However, the specifics of that case were much more horrific than we let on, or in fact, that I even knew about. I went back and read a lot because of our letter writer. It was a hideous case. The boys humiliated the girl. They posed her in certain positions. They took lots of pictures of her, put it up on the internet, talked about it on Facebook with their friends. They laughed at the idea that they would be caught or held accountable for that. It was a truly horrible case. And I've gotten really interested in this. This is what you did, letter writer. Good thing. It's made me look into the idea of rape culture, which has come up across the country. It's a new global women's movement. And I actually brought this up to a colleague at work, and he goes, well, yeah, but, you know, third world countries, not ours, right? And I mentioned Steubenville. I go, it's the same thing. That same attitude that those young men could get away with it is the same thing that happens in New Delhi when men on a bus commandeer a young woman, beat her to death as well as rape her multiple times and think that it's okay, or that people in Egypt can grab women because they're demonstrating for democracy on the street and sexually assault them and think that they can get away with it. It is part and parcel of the same idea. And interestingly, you're seeing women rise up against this right now, say, okay, enough.
You know, in Steubenville, there was an interesting element of this. There's a hacker group that calls itself Anonymous that somehow learned about all of it, and they actually brought back some videos and pictures the young men, you know, had put out there on the internet, pictures of the young woman in these poses. They were actually bragging about what had gone on. So the question is about the role of this group Anonymous, their efforts at, if you want to call it, is that investigative journalism?
Yeah.
If this is an anonymous group that finds and, in effect, hacks things in order to expose.
These are modern-day vigilantes, in a way.
Definitely.
Because it may be outside the law, but they act as if they're doing justice.
Those were sorts of records and reports that should have come out via the police and or the press. And it never did. They were hidden away. They were disguised. No one knew about them until hackers. So.
But that is sometimes the fault of the reporters.
Yes, it is.
With all due respect, I don't know anything about who covers Steubenville, Ohio, but oftentimes even evidence that's introduced at trial, if a reporter's not on top of it, is sometimes buried then. We've run into situations here where a judge will have evidence at hand and will simply spirit it away in his own chambers. And unless a reporter's really right on top of it, you can lose evidence that should be exposed to the public.
And you know, Rex, you've often spoken quite correctly about value journalism, for want of a better word, citizen journalism, the idea that you explain what's going on in the context of the story. Now, here we had a story about these athletes in a culture where athletes are glorified. And as Rosemary points out, women can often be the exact opposite, you know, made to be less of people than they are. And that rape is a way of showing that power.
Rape is not about sex. We've known that. You are hearing women, though, saying things like, how come at my orientation at school they're telling women how to avoid rape? Why aren't they telling boys, don't rape? There's a new PSA that's gone viral on the internet. Very interesting. It's what to do with a drunk girl on your couch. And it opens up with a guy kind of leering, and there's a, you know, scantily clad woman on the couch. And he goes, guys, let me show you what I'm going to do to her. And what he does is cover her with a blanket, put a pillow on her head and a cup of coffee by her face, and says into the camera, real men respect women. So you're seeing a backlash against boys. It's not okay to do this.
You're absolutely right in everything you said, but I'm also thinking about the glorification of athletics in this context, that it's okay because they're stars. Nobody's going to do anything to them. And that, it seems to me, is a huge part of our culture.
Or worse, that women like it. Women want to be with these men and throw themselves at it, whole groupie phenomenon.
You know, the paper in Torrington, Connecticut, the Register Citizen, recently had to apologize, in effect, for choice of terms. There was a rape involving students there. Mm-hmm. And in a headline, the Register Citizen used the word scandal. You know, scandal denotes something juicy. This is crime. This is violence. It's not scandal. The editor said, well, we were talking about the way the school district handled it because, Alan, to your point, these were student athletes. But in fact, they said, you know, we really need to be more careful about this. And one of the things that they found was that a form that is appropriate, that is useful for helping people understand it, is a Q&A, to interact with readers about how you're covering something. When you've got something that's controversial, a little back and forth with your readers can really go a long way toward explaining things.
Yeah, I remember the Joe Paterno case when terms became a big issue, like child rape. Is that different than bumping against a body in the shower? Do you remember all those? Mm-hmm. We were trying to kind of pull back on the terminology because it's just so offensive what happened. But in effect, when you do that, you're hiding the crime.
You often need to explain what you're doing to people, and we have not traditionally done a very good job of that. But sometimes, no matter what your best explanations are, there's a culture of journalism, of what we think is the way to do things, that our readers don't understand. I'm engaged, as we speak, in fact, with some readers who are upset that we included old information from previous stories in a current story. This often happens in the case of an obituary, say. Somebody dies, and in the story you write about the person who's died, you bring back the scandal that scarred this person's life 20 years ago, or something is related, a relative is brought back into a story.
Yeah. Well, there's almost a law that I have experienced. I really got beaten up quite badly, you know, on one of these obituaries. I said, I never cared for the guy on the air.
Well.
And I really got hit very hard because I think it was Abby Hoffman and Steal This Book.
Uh-huh.
And people said, he's on his way out. He can't defend himself. And who the hell are you, you know, to kick somebody on the way out? Now, Rex raised a very interesting point about journalists, which is that if the New York Times, let's say, doesn't like Shartok and Shartok dies and on the way out and they find something to diminish the obit. So either we have a rule that says on the way out, you get a free pass. Or we have another situation like the one you're talking about, which we're talking about here. And so, Rex, it becomes very subjective, is my point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing I would take issue with there was if the New York Times doesn't like you. This is personification that is inappropriate. You know, New York Times doesn't have a personality. It doesn't not like someone.
So you don't think they have an S list at the New York Times?
No, they have a C list. Shartok is at the top. Yeah, that's
so they don't have an S list, right? And you don't have one at the Times Union, right? So,
no, indeed.
So when somebody like Joe Bruno passes, if he does ever, and I hope he doesn't, then...
Scandal scarred speaker, ex-speaker dies.
Well, we will...
Majority leader.
We will... you know, that's actually a great example because you'll never be able to avoid the fact that here's a guy who people love in New York's capital region, who did a lot of things that people really appreciate, but who was convicted of a federal corruption charge.
It all goes into the Obit, and Obit is a life story. I objected to when both former Presidents Reagan and Ford died. I thought the coverage overall was fawning and just inaccurate. It didn't point up all of the unrest and hatred and, you know, the opposition of these guys, because we're being nice to them.
Yeah, good point. But it's very interesting because now things have changed. So if you want a good Obit in most newspapers now, Rex, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you pay for it, right? I mean,
good Obit.
You pay by the word.
If you want an Obit to say something sweet, then you pay for it. Almost every newspaper now, you pay for the death notices.
Right.
That's right.
So on the one hand, you get these long death notices about people gone to heaven and, you know, what else, and they're in great repose. And next to it, you got Rex saying, now let me tell you about the scandal that Joe Bruno went into. So we have these two kinds of Obits now. We have the official new Obits, if you rise to the occasion that they write about you, as opposed to that the grieving family writes about you.
Well, Joe Bruno's family could put in a really big one.
And people will, and I'm sure that will be the case. And, you know, if I were grubbing for money, if I were on the advertising side of things, I'd say, great, this is a good thing, you know, let's have them do that.
And the last thing that we'll ever accuse a commercial newspaper of doing is grubbing for money.
Well, you know, you do what you have to survive, and then in our case, that is, you
okay,
take advertising
dollars. Okay, here we go again.
Dollars.
We also got a letter, Rex, criticizing us for, you know, weeping in our beer too much.
Somebody said they didn't like for us to talk about the business side of journalism, right? That we're talking too much about paywalls and that sort
right.
of thing, right?
And that we do it week after week after week after week.
Okay, so let's give them something juicy.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Rex.
So, speaking of women's issues being turned the other way, at the BBC, they've gotten so concerned that they don't have enough diversity in their source list that they've actually created an expert women database to help journalists find women who they will actually quote in stories.
So offensive. Gannett did this once in the United States several years ago. We were supposed to diversify our sources, and you'd had a little checklist. Did you look for an Asian? Did you look for a woman? Did you look for an African-American? And what really, of course, is needed is extensive work by all the reporters, by all of the news organizations to find out what's out there. We all go back to the same sources all the time.
Yeah, but I do think that there's a point to be made here that there isn't enough women representation. You know, in these places, and that we have to make a conscious effort to do better.
Well, we do, but I'm not sure that binders full of women, as a former presidential candidate put it, is the way to do it.
Gail Collins, the brilliant former Opinion Pages editor, now columnist of the New York Times, told Poynter Institute 2 years ago, one thing that's been consistently true is that women don't put their hands up as often as men.
Yeah.
So it is, to a certain extent, a factor of a cultural difference that doesn't have as much attention being focused on women's sources as men.
Not to sound like the complete feminist today, I'm harping on this, but women don't write these editorials or columns either. And there's been a lot of study about exactly why not. It's that same thing, they don't put up their hand. And Sherry Long is
And of course, the woman who wrote Linen. And we have Carol Gilligan, who has written an academic treatise on this, many of them. And, you know, it's fascinating stuff. Nevertheless, that doesn't excuse us in terms of doing our due diligence and making sure that we have people.
Is there a point at which, and I think this was the question that Gannett was being asked some years ago when, yes, they had their, didn't they call it the key sources list or something?
Mm-hmm.
Gannett at the time had 100 newspapers, and at each paper you had to have certain sources and you had to have a certain amount of diversity in your stories. So in some of these small communities, there would be, let's say, one Asian person with some prominence in the business community, and that person would be called for comment on just every story.
Yeah.
It was
ridiculous. You know, our friend, yours friend, my friend, Rosemary's friend, Gerald Benjamin, who is the former dean at New Paltz and now runs a major institute down there, brilliant guy, he's called the upstate quote in the New York
upstate
Times.
Upstate quote, right. Yeah. There he is, so, upstate quote.
Paul Benjamin.
I mean, it's lazy sourcing or inexperienced sourcing. You know, young reporters come in and they'll get two or three good people who they can always go to get something. And you don't go out and get more than
And by the way, you make a very good point, because all journalists are under pressure, especially when they're time journalists. And so there are certain things that count. Now, I'm fairly regularly called to be on the John Gambling Show in New York City on WOR. And I think that one of the criteria is, will you call them back and fast? You know?
Oh, yeah.
And if you won't, you're out.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Timing makes everything. If you're a broadcast producer and you can get somebody who's willing to go on the air within a few minutes, bingo.
Well, I think that's true of print journalists also. They need to find people who will call them back so that they can file their stories and in a timely fashion.
You know, lots of women, some men too, I don't mean to make it a completely gender thing, but they don't want to just say something off the cuff. They want to think about it and polish it a little bit and get back to you.
I don't think that's a gender thing. That's pretty offensive.
I think men
are more likely to be
hit him, Rosemary, hit him,
full of BS than women?
No, I didn't say full of BS. quicker on their feet.
Okay,
you know?
Confident. But Rosemary has a very good point.
Thank you, Alan.
I'll tell you what it is, and that is that we have a new show here on WAMC, which is the Roundtable on the Roundtable. It's a wonderful place in which we are transitioning from the hard news of Morning Edition to the softer news that it goes on. Joe Donahue does these wonderful interviews, as we all know, with people about things like memoir writing, things like that. Why are you all laughing? So what ends up happening is that we have this first hour. Now your feminist instincts, I think, prove true, because we love you to be on that show, Rosemary. You're on.
Because I call back, probably.
No, because you are willing
woman.
To take... You are willing, if we're going to talk about four subjects, you're willing, as you are here, to talk about four subjects.
Yeah.
There are other people who call back and say, now exactly
what do you
are you going to
say?
Talk about? Yeah. And I don't know anything about that subject.
Yeah.
That doesn't
Why
stop
should that the, be a qualification for speaking on public
Rosemary.
Radio?
That doesn't
stop. I'll talk about anything. My mother will tell you.
Stop, Rosemary.
No,
that's what I love about her.
The head of Yahoo, she's now with Facebook. I'm blanking on her name, wrote a book called Lean In, and she talks about that men will go after a job for which they might be 60% qualified. Women have to be almost 100% qualified before they'll ask for it. It's the same thing. It's you're just trained to be perfectly controlled, prepared, and ready to go.
Yeah, but think about that for a second. If you take a look at, you mentioned Mitt Romney without mentioning his name before.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at this last presidential election, and women were overwhelmingly Democratic in terms of the election.
Where they voted.
Where they voted.
Overwhelmingly supported Obama, yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Which shows that women are very, very smart. And did I say something? And prepared and do their homework. And I don't want to generalize, but many people do.
Okay, Dr. Chartok doesn't
Rosemary
want to generalize.
Looks like she doesn't know what she
it's
wants
like
to do.
It's like I really want to agree with you, even though your reasoning, I would have to fault. But yeah, I like the conclusion there.
If you'd like to offer your thoughts, media@wamc.org. We are the Media Project, Dr. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Rex Smith. Here we are. And, one of the things that we ought to talk about here, and it is often a factor in the state capitol, we have a lot of political aides and advisors who try to manipulate news stories.
Yes.
I was one such person for 4 years in my career, actually, when I was a young man. I became a flack for an obscure Midwestern congressman.
What was that guy's name? Because you always mention that.
Oh, he's a great guy. Floyd Fithian.
Wait a second. You have a little lisp.
Floyd Fithian. He was a great guy. In fact, one of the proudest moments, we did a mailing to the agricultural mailing list because it was a rural 14-county district with lots of farmers. And so I proudly wrote the headline on the newsletter, Floyd Fithian Fights for Farmers.
And just because I'm fascinated by this, how do you spell Fithian?
It's Fithian. It's Welsh. He's from a farming family in Nebraska, but he was representing, he was a professor. He was like you. He was a professor at Purdue University, actually, before he was elected to Congress. Now the late Floyd Fithian, but back in the, what years
Did
were those?
Did you come up with an F for alliteration?
The late 70s.
Instead of late Floyd Fithian, faded Floyd Fithian.
Anyway, press aides, it is said here, there are those who are questioning about the power that journalists are giving press aides. I guess you would say they're giving them power by ceding to the manipulation, by being too willing to yield to.
Hey, you want a source?
And that's what they're doing, though. Go here, sit here, give me your camera. It's ridiculous that the reporters are going along with this. And I loved that Joe Biden's people took on a reporter on the University of Maryland, where Lucy Dauglish is the head of the journalism school. She was years for head of the Reporters Committee on Press Freedom, and she dashed off a note to him saying, what do you think this is, some third world country?
Great.
And they apologized.
But it does go to show, and I think Rex knows this, that too often we get into trading relationships. I'll give you information if you go along with me with what I want. Yeah. Or the candidate does not want to be asked about this when you do your interview. And how many people wanting the candidate don't go along with that and say, okay, I mean, it's got to be tough, and you got to say, okay, then we don't want the candidate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you want
now,
the body.
We're witnessing a transition right now that is overdue. It was about 3 or 4 months ago that the Times reporter Jeremy Peters wrote a story that they played on the front page that exposed a practice that had become prevalent in Washington that I wasn't aware of. I don't think any of us here were. Quote approval, that reporters would send in the quotes that they had recorded, that they'd taken down from political sources, and the offices of those politicians would change the quotes or would approve them, say, yes, that's okay, which is an outrageous practice I hadn't heard of. Margaret Sullivan, the New Times public editor who had been the editor of the Buffalo News, made a big deal about this in her column, prodded the Times, and the Washington Bureau of the New York Times and the managing editor announced that this practice would stop, at least as far as that newspaper is concerned. I read a report last week suggesting that, yes, the Times believes that a few sources have dried up as a result. Some politicians have refused. They've missed some interviews that some other people have gotten. But, you know, that's just the way it's got to be. I cannot imagine going along with this practice and saying, okay, you said this, but we're not going to quote you if you don't want us to.
So, of course, the negotiation has to be when the interview gets set up, does somebody say, by the way, we want quote approval? And if you say, yes, you can have quote approval, shame on you.
Absolutely.
Right. That is right.
And if you say no, and they say, well, then we're not going to do it, you say, okay.
That's too bad.
That's right. That's the only thing.
Yeah, you can't really fault the press agents for trying to do this. The reporters who agree to it are
trouble.
I very quickly want to go back and compliment you on one thing, Rosemary, that you said before that I don't think we took enough notice of, which is that when you were talking about the response, somebody put up this thing on YouTube and it went viral. Mm-hmm. That's a very important point that our journalism has now become, you know, sensitive to the fact that, you know, we're not it. You can get a million hits on something that goes viral, and somehow people know that it's there.
Yesterday, the past 2 days, as the Supreme Court has been looking at the same-sex marriage thing, the internet has become red with a symbol. It's a red background with pink, an equal sign. It stands for marriage equality. People are putting it up in lieu of their picture on Facebook, signing
That's
it off
a new
to
thing.
Each other. That's another thing. I can never say the word. M-E-M-E, mem.
Mm-hmm. Meme.
Meme. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what that is. That's a meme.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. Yeah. It's like instantly signing on, saying, hey, I agree with it.
My boy Jonas is annoyed about somebody who is being held prisoner somewhere. And so he's put the prisoner's picture up where his picture
should be.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And thousands of people suddenly think that Jonas is being held prisoner somewhere, right? They say, what's happened? Why is he?
He's getting a lot of money. No, I'm just kidding.
There is a lot of talk by real activists, however, about how this is all nice and you show support, but that's not really activism. You can put a picture up, but you really don't get action until
it's better than nothing
in the street. Well, I agree, but...
Yeah. But, you know, the interesting thing, the point of social media, too, with respect to this notion of even a quote approval is... How embarrassing for reporters if you're exposed as being a gatekeeper, manipulator. Let's say that something that you agreed to let be off the record, in fact, then finds its way into print or finds its way electronically out. How embarrassed would you be? And so you have to think about that, even if that's not a realistic possibility. Think about the fact that if there were somebody else in the room with you listening to this quote, how embarrassed would you be if you said, well, okay, never mind, we won't do that.
Yeah.
You know, what role of truth-telling is that? Okay, then. Well, we're out of time. We have to go.
No.
We have to let Pete sing some more, which is really something we always look forward to here. Don't we? We do.
Oh, I do. He's my hero.
Absolutely. We're glad to have him on the Media Project. Alan Shartok, Rosemary Mayo, Rex Smith here, and we invite you to join us again next week right here.
Such interesting people, like the richest girl who could not bake a cake. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ling-a-ling, ling. Now, newspapermen are such interesting people. They used to work like hell just for romance. But finally, the movies notwithstanding, they all got tired of patches on their pants. They organized a union to get a living wage. They joined with other actors upon a living stage. Now newspapermen are such interesting people. When they know they've got a people's fight to wage. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, newspaper guild, got a free new world to build. Meet the people, that's a thrill, all together fits the bill. Oh, newspapermen are such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the play. Now, publishers are such interesting people. Their policy is an acrobatic thing. They claim...